Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Arcanea Sunday Sermon, brought to you by Jedi Realist Radio, Arcanea Jedi Order, and Blog Talk Radio. At Arcanea Sunday Sermon each week, an inspirational sermon based on the Jedi path will be brought to you by a real-life ordained Jedi priest or minister. Today, I will be your host and officiant, Master Alan Wilson, Jedi priest and the Grand Master of Arcanea Jedi Order. If this is your first time here, you know, what we're going to do is each sermon is going to be centered around the fictional Jedi, Star Wars mythos, and the Jedi realist path as it applies in today's world. Reminder, if you enjoyed today's sermon, please be sure to share it on your social networking groups, share it on your homepage, and let people know about us. Also, follow us right here at Blog Talk Radio. That way you can get the most up-to-date episode information and showtimes. If you like our episodes, you know, you can download an app such as Player FM to make listening a little easier. It'll allow you to listen to our episodes as they play in the background. And if you're interested in Jedi realism and want to learn more, go to Arcanea Jedi Academy on Facebook and join. We do post information there. Some of the instructors will post lessons there. We also post links to our episodes there. You know, we talk about it all the time, that anybody can call themselves a Jedi. As long as you're trying to apply the philosophies of the fictional Jedi to your real life, you can call yourself a Jedi. Now, calling yourself a Jedi Knight or a Jedi Master, that should be taken real serious, you know, before you start giving yourself these titles or self-proclamation of these titles. Because what you're saying when you say you're a Jedi Knight or you say you're a Jedi Master, you're saying, one, you're very experienced in this path, you've gone through some sort of training, and that you're willing to train others. The reason this is important and these titles should be taken seriously is because those new to the Jedi path are going to be looking to knights and masters to learn. They're going to be looking to those people for guidance. And so it's not just something cool to say, hey, I'm a Jedi Knight or I'm a Jedi Master. These titles give you some credence. And so, even at Arcanea, we're real careful about who we give these titles to, and we're real careful about who we allow to keep these titles. Most orders out there, they have standards they go by. There's standards that the members have to meet and training they have to meet before they can earn such titles. So, that's why you'll see sometimes older members in the community, they get kind of edgy or even aggressive when somebody new comes into the community and claims to be a Jedi Knight or Master. That's the reason, is because people can be led astray real easily. You know, it's no different than trying to go out and say, hey, I'm a Catholic priest. If you haven't gone through the teachings of Catholicism and been accepted as a Catholic priest, of course, the Catholic organization would come down on you like a ton of bricks. So we like to remind people that, you know, that to a lot of people, Jediism is their religion. Their orders are their churches. And so you wouldn't walk into a church you've never attended and claim to be the leader of that church. You shouldn't walk into the Jedi community and claim to be a leader in that community if you haven't done any training and don't have the credentials to do so. Now, back to our sermons. We're going to pick up. Now, last week we took a break because we had a request to do a sermon on a specific topic. This week we're going to get back into the Eightfold Path of transforming the dark side. And this we're still continuing on right effort. Now, as always, we start each sermon off with a quote from the fiction. This quote is from Qui-Gon Jinn. Your focus determines your reality. That's why we're going over this Eightfold Path, is we forget that what we focus on determines what we're going to look like to everybody else. It also determines how we see certain things. So there's these eightfold paths to transforming the dark side into the light side. Now, everybody thinks of light side, dark side as good and evil, and that's not what it is at all. There's the path to enlightenment, and there's the path to stagnation, or selfishness. Okay? Jedi are selfless. Sith are selfish. Other than that, from the outside, there's not too much difference between the two. Of course, in the fiction, yeah, Jedi typically wear brown, Sith typically wear black. But that was for visual effect on the big screen. And if you understand what I'm saying, is that was so we could easily tell the two apart. When we talk about movies, or even books, comics, whatever, we form visuals to make it easier for our viewers, our readers, to follow along. And if we were to dress the Sith identical to the Jedi, you wouldn't be able to tell the two apart from their, pretty much from their outward actions, because a lot of what makes a Jedi or a Sith is their intent that you can't see. A great example of this was Count Dooku. Count Dooku, for the most part, still dressed like a Jedi. He didn't go to the solid black or black and red like most of the Sith do. And yet he was a fallen Jedi. He was very well spoken. He was very eloquent. Had manners and etiquette. He wasn't what we would typically view as a Sith. And I think that's why we needed that character in the prequels, was to kind of split the dogma up that Jedi are brown, Sith are black. And that's part of this Eightfold Path, is it's not looking at how one dresses. It's looking at how one behaves or how one should behave. So when we're talking right effort, we're talking about, you know, how to apply yourself. You know, the meditative cultivation, you know, and focusing on nurturing the heart, nurturing the mind. And you do this through right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. The definition of right effort is diligent action or thoughts that lead to spiritual freedom. And that's what Jedi are. You know, they're releasing themselves from the world around them. You know, there's an old Buddhist story that illustrates this. It's about a monk named Sona who had been a musician. The Buddha pointed out that the stringed instruments, like the lute, if the strings are too taut, the instrument is not useful and fit for playing. And the same is true if the strings are too slack. But if the strings are neither too tight nor too slack, a musician can bring forth beautiful music, tuneful music. The same is true with Buddhist practice, and the same is also true as Jedi. The deep commitment of a Jedi is necessary, but our intensity should be tempered by a realistic outlook. If it is not, the too taut string of overly serious effort may snap. There are four functions to right effort. The first is to pacify unwholesome seeds that have already blossomed in our minds. Unwholesome means anything that does not correlate with peace, happiness, and freedom. This means, among other things, the dark side energies of fear, anger, and aggression. This function is the opposite of what the Emperor employs to tempt Luke to the dark side in Return of the Jedi, where he says, "Use your aggressive feelings, boy. Let the hate flow through you." When hate and aggression, dark side feelings, have entered our consciousness, we can remember to practice as Qui-Gon taught and become aware of the present moment and the state of our mind. Recognizing the presence of the dark side in us, we do not allow it to pull us into actions that we will regret. We practice mindful breathing and allow the emotion to pass. And in this way, we stave off the path of suffering. Letting go of the dark side energies is complemented by the second function of right effort, preventing unwholesome seeds from manifesting in the mind in the first place. Although hatred, anger, aggression, and other mental formations of the dark side are unwholesome, if we are practicing the way that transforms the dark side, they can nonetheless be transformed into wholesome elements. If we recognize the dark side when it is present in our mind, we can practice Yoda's method of calm reflection and gain insight into our hate and aggression and the things that have helped them arise. The third function of right effort is to cultivate and raise wholesome seeds in the mind. Wholesome seeds are not ideas about living a chaste, upright life, but rather, they are those things that bring us peace, joy, and freedom on a deeply spiritual level. Living simply, taking time to enjoy life, and appreciating our loved ones are ways one can practice the third function. Once wholesome seeds have blossomed in our mind, consciousness can turn to the final function of right effort. Namely, sustaining the wholesome seeds that we've cultivated. We can keep wholesome seeds strong in our mind by nourishing them with mindfulness and concentration. Breathing in and out in mindfulness is an ever-present light of peace that brings ease and contentment. Now, these are all important to consider and important to remember. You know, when we start combining all the different rites, right mindfulness, right concentration, right view, right effort, right livelihood, all of these come into play and can help us to live a better life. Now, does that mean that Jedi never lose their temper? No, not at all. Does it mean that Jedi never allow their emotions to come to the surface? That's untrue also. We actually see examples of this. We see it throughout the fiction. We see it through Padawans, Knights, and Masters. You know, Anakin actually was a raw bundle of emotions. We saw Qui-Gon have emotions. We watched Obi-Wan. I mean, his first battle with, you know, where he lost Qui-Gon to Darth Maul, we saw anger. We saw him lash out. We've seen emotions again. A great example was with Obi-Wan and Anakin on Mustafar. You know, Obi-Wan was extremely emotional when he told Anakin, "I have the high ground." And then after he defeats Anakin, he talks about, "You were like my brother." Those were emotional feelings he was expressing. Those, you know, and so Jedi can have feelings. They can have emotions. What we're talking about here is not that Jedi don't have emotions. You know, we all hear the first line of the code, "There is no emotion, there is peace." We think that that means a Jedi shouldn't have any emotions. And that's not true at all. A Jedi should have emotions. You can't have compassion and love without being in touch with your emotions. But what a Jedi doesn't do is a Jedi tries hard not to allow those emotions to control them. They learn to recognize these emotions, and they learn, like when anger or hate start to well up, how to refocus themselves so that they're not acting upon that anger or hate. It doesn't mean that they don't have anger while they're acting. It means they're not allowing the anger to control their actions themselves. They recenter themselves. They think it through. You know, too often when we get angry, or use that strong word, hate, we're blinded. We're not thinking clearly. We're not making decisions that we would make if we weren't under the same duress, as if we were calm. You know, because when we're angry, we don't tend to think rationally. We tend to just lash out. And that's what a Jedi has to be careful of, is not just lashing out. You know, thoughtful with their actions. So with that, we will stop there. This has been another Arcanea Sunday Sermon brought to you by Jedi Realist Radio, Arcanea Jedi Order, and Blog Talk Radio. I've been your host and officiant, Master Alan Wilson, Jedi Priest, Grandmaster of Arcanea Jedi Order. And until next Sunday, may the Force be with you.